Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Luke chapter 11. The disciples said to the Lord, "Teach us to pray." Interesting request. We'll be looking at it. Have your Bible ready if you possibly can. Reading here in Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, it came to pass that as he was praying, that is, Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, he was praying. He was praying. That's so important. Jesus spent a lot of time praying. In a certain place, if we're going to have a successful prayer life, then we need to have a certain place and a time when we decide we're going to pray. When he ceased, one of his disciples, doesn't tell us which one, said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." It's interesting. When we think of John, we think of that wild preacher that came out there and set those Pharisees in their place and said, "You hypocrites, what are you coming out here for?" When the Lord's disciples thought of John, they thought of the fact that he taught his disciples to pray. Well, Jesus said, "When ye pray," he didn't say "if ye pray," he said in verse 2, "when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, we could spend weeks just on those few verses right there, because not only does it teach us how to pray, it teaches us how to live. And perhaps another time we'll come back and have a look at those verses. But after he gave them that formula, he gave them a little object lesson here, from verse 5 on down through to verse 13. He said unto them, verse 5, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," that word means persistence, "he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Now, we know that God answers prayer. There's all kinds of verses in the Bible that tells us that God answers prayer. In 1 John 5:14, we read, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, you can spell every one as one word, that means the group. Or you can spell every one two words, what I could spell it here, and that means every individual. It says you can ask, you can knock, and you can receive. We know God answers prayer. Well, we might ask ourselves then, why are so few prayers being answered? If I was to say I'd like you to drop me a note, email me, and tell me of a prayer that you have had answered in your life in the last 7 days, or 7 weeks, or 7 months, and for some of you it might be 7 years. Could you actually write down something and send it in and say, God answered this prayer for me? If you can, that's great, but you're one of a few. There's so few prayers being answered. Now, they're sincere Christians, and we don't seem to be getting our prayers answered. Why is that? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 2, we read there that the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Mixed with faith. Now, the word faith means what you believe. And so James put it this way in James 2 and 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Faith, what we believe, without works, is dead, being alone. Jesus said this way in Matthew 17 and 20, if ye have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you, if ye have faith. Faith is what you believe, but what you believe without mixing it with your works is dead. Another reason that we have so few prayers answered, I think, is that there is a lack of confessing our sin. The Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, he will not hear us. And so one of the things we need to pray about and ask God to forgive us about is our neglect to pray. We shoot off these little telegrams to God, and, we call that prayer, and most of that prayer is begging God to get us out of trouble from something we got into because we didn't pray in the first place. Now, we need to also confess all known sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we need to understand the place of prayer in God's plan. In Acts chapter 2, the exciting things happening, and they were all of one accord. How that happened? Read it. It says they prayed. Then they were threatened in Acts chapter 4. What did they do? They prayed. In Acts chapter 6, the unity was destroyed. What did they do then? They prayed. There was a great revival in Acts chapter 8. How did that happen? It was in Samaria. How did it happen? It was found in prayer. In Acts chapter 9 and 10, Peter prayed, and then Cornelius prayed, and some tremendous things are happening. It says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 4, thy prayers are come before God. Then in Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison. He was going to be executed in a couple of days. Church got together and prayed, and Peter was delivered. God's plan for us is to saturate everything we do in prayer. Now, going back to this little story that Jesus told here about prayer, when they said, teach us to pray, the first thing we get from Luke chapter 11, verse number 5, is we need to get our eyes open to the need that is around us. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. I need 3 loaves. I've got some people at my house. I've got nothing to feed them. He got his eyes open to the need that was around him, and he's going to do something to meet that need, and he's doing it at midnight here. Now, we have friends. All of us have some friends. We have family. Perhaps you have some family or some friends that are traveling down the road, and they're on the road to hell because they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If we get our eyes open to that need, we'll get more serious about praying for them. Then, second, we need to realize our total inability to help. He said, I have nothing to set before him. I have nothing to set before him. If one of the children in your church, a young child, maybe 2-3 years old, was sick, and they took him to the hospital, and they said, there's nothing we can do for him. If he lives through the night, he'll be okay. But there's nothing we could do. You know what would happen? Somebody would contact somebody, and somebody would contact somebody else, and that church, the people who had a concern about things, would be praying for that little fella. When we realize our total inability to help, we will pray. And then, number 3, there was a sacrificing concern. It says in verse 7 that he says here, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now, this is all happening in the middle of the night. And in 1 Corinthians 5, 13 and verse number 5, it says, love seeketh not her own, including her own schedule. We're too busy to pray. We got to do this and we have to do that. I wonder how we're going to answer for the fact that we watch as much TV as we do, but we say, well, I just don't have time to pray. There has to be a sacrificing concern, including sacrificing our own, what we think is important schedule. Then we have to realize, too, that delays are not denials. He says here in verse 8 and 9, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Sometimes it seems like God's just not answering prayer. Well, delays are not denials. God cannot answer our prayer and violate a Bible principle to do it. For example, the Bible says, whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. And so sometimes the people that we're praying for, they've got to do some reaping before they can be saved. They've been sowing something bad, they're going to reap something bad. And so God's not saying, no, I'm not going to answer that prayer. We've already found out that he said if you ask for things in his will, he's going to hear us. And so if it's in his will, it obviously is that people get saved. And maybe it's just like, well, he's got to reap what he's sown first here. He will rise and give him as many as he needs. Delays are not denials. Sometimes that prayer might not be answered until 5 years after you're dead. But we want God to do it right now. I'll do it my way right away. And that's just not the way it is. And then we need to make it personal. He said, for every one, verse 10, for every one that asketh, receiveth. That brings it down to you. It's got to be personal. And then it needs to be specific. In verses 11 and 12, he said, if a son asks bread, or if he asks for a fish, or if he asks for an egg, very specific. In fact, the story started in verse 5, and the man was looking for 3 loaves. I think sometimes we get afraid to pray specific prayers in case we paint ourselves into a corner, and then, oh dear, they'll see our prayers weren't answered. We need to pray for specific things. And so in his little outline here, he said, I think we need to get our eyes open to the need that is around us. We need to realize our total inability to help. We need to have a sacrificing concern and sacrificing some time to pray. We need to realize that God's delays are not denials. We need to make our prayers personal, and we need to make them specific. Be sure and tune in again tomorrow for another program.